Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
No, you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go. Can't understand why you keep holding on. Just 'cause you can't take it with you. No, you can't take it with you. Yes, you can't take it with you when you go. Oh, when you go. I see you pride yourself in your new car, chatting on your compact Nokia, and you love your expensive clothes, but you can't take it with you when you go, when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go. Oh no, you can't take it with you when you go. Ain't no point in trying to hold on. Just 'cause you can't take it, oh, you can't take it. You can't take it with you when you go. Oh, when you go. No, you can't take your big screen TV, nor your variety of DVDs. No, you can't take your designer shoes. Everything you have, you're gonna lose. No, you can't take it with you when you go. Oh no, you can't take it with
you. You can't take it with you when you go. That's the voice of Zain Bika and Dawood Wansbi Ali. And on that note, I'd like to welcome you to this episode of Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. My name is Owen Adams. I'll be in the driver's seat for today. And we're going to be looking at effective management of teenage life. And so if you listen to the lyrics that you heard from Zain Bika and Dawood Wansbi, it's a reminder to all of us, not just the teenagers I'm talking about now, but them in focus, because they are so in love with all the things around them, their phones, their followership on social media platforms and all of that. They're consumed by that, and that's not the reality. So this is just a reminder that all those followers that you have gathered, all those expensive designer clothes and shoes that you wear, all those gadgets that you own, you can't take it with you when you go. And I do have a seasoned, experienced scholar. I would say she's a scholar because she's a scholar in her own field, in her own space. She's going to be the one talking to us about this. A teenage life, effective management of teenage life. Hajia Shakira or Sheila Jaulokun is a seasoned parent coach, certified emotional intelligence practitioner, a family life practitioner, and the founder TP Parenting Academy. She's also an author of the best-selling book Connect to Influence, an empowering way to thrive with your child despite everyday challenges. As a certified emotional intelligence practitioner, she believes keenly in raising self-aware, emotionally intelligent, and resilient children. As a parent coach, she helps parents gain clarity about self-identity, unlearn, and break unhealthy parenting patterns that sabotage positive parenting practices through her coachings and training, thereby helping them build a positive relationship with their child. As a family life practitioner, she helps individuals, parents, and couples start right on the journey to build connected, thriving, and blissful relationships and families. Shakira aims to empower parents with the knowledge, skills, and faith that it takes to raise a balanced, righteous, and resilient child. Because she believes that parenting the next generation better is the way to have a better world tomorrow. Hajia Shakira, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much for having me.
It's an honor, and subhanAllah, we're honored and humbled to have you, because you went the extra mile for us. SubhanAllah, I wish I could show you what I mean by extra mile, but no, let me not podcast her too much, but she went overboard, subhanAllah, to be here with us. So let's make the most of now. In the past generations, teenagers were often molded by the traditions and responsibilities of family and society, stepping into adult roles much earlier. Their challenges were rooted in meeting communal expectations and navigating a world where change came slowly. Fast forward to the present, and we find ourselves in an era where young people face unprecedented shifts brought on by rapid technological advancements, media influence, and the rise of a more individualistic culture. Today's teenagers are burdened with the duality of staying connected to an ever-evolving digital world while struggling with issues of identity, mental health, and social pressure. The struggles of previous generations may have been tied to survival and societal roles, but now our youth are navigating a world where information overload and the quest for validation are everyday challenges. How do these modern struggles align or contrast with the past? It is crucial that we reflect on these differences to better understand and support the current generation. So my question, Hajia Shakira, will be, what would you say the key challenges most teenagers of today face, and how do these challenges differ from what we face in previous generations?
Okay, thank you very much for having me. So I would say there are quite a lot of challenges that teenagers face. Looking at the current situation that they find themselves, their current reality, you know, while growing up, many of us did not have to face the challenges of technology. For us to visit our friends, we have to walk miles away. I was still discussing with a friend day before yesterday about my son. He's just 8 years old. And I was telling him that our gas cooker got spoiled.
Right.
So I was telling him, go and get matches and let's use matches. And he said, yeah. I can't do that. So he tried using the matches and he exhausted a pack of matches just while trying to do that, and he got frustrated. What's this? Why you don't have to use this? That's to tell you that look at their own time now. You don't have to go to the stress that we had to go through just to bring a light out of the matches. And that was something that we learned automatically by default of our own reality,
because that was what it was
that
then.
That was what it was.
Or the days of lantern, clean the glass, all the glass lanterns.
That process is teaching us something, right?
Yeah.
You're learning perseverance, you're learning to be patient, you're learning to do things diligently. But now, just by a click, you have fire. The gas is on. Just by pressing something, you can connect with somebody miles away. That's their reality.
Right.
So these things that occur different from our own time is actually what is their own reality, and it's affecting the way they think. So when you're telling them to be patient, they will ask you, it seems as if you are stressing them, you are suffering them. And it's, in the real sense, it's also the fact that it's like you're preparing them for a future that does no longer exist. So you saying that we are holding on to our own view, like, ah, no, that's the way you should do it. Why can't you just do this simple thing? You can't just light a matches. But to the child, why do I have to light a matches?
When
I can just click and just press a button, and then I'll achieve the same goal.
Right.
So these are one of the factors that actually affect the way the conflict that parents have between their teenagers in particular and children in general are these factors. So what are the things that we can do as parents to now start to help them understand that even though we see these differences, they can thrive, they can still learn from us? It's first to understand that we as the parents are the first influence, primary influence on the life of our kids. We should not let that part go away. We should not leave that role. The moment we allow them believe or think that somebody out there can influence them better than we can, then we have lost. We have lost the battle when it comes to raising our child right. So the first thing is for us to not let go of that role. Our own role as a parent, as a primary caregiver, as a primary influence in their life, we should not let it go because of those discrepancies.
Right. So, I mean, when you say don't let it go, I already picture a communication gap. So how important is communication between parents and teenagers, and what strategies can parents use to foster open, honest conversations with their children? You just did say now that if we leave a crack in the wall, several lizards and, you know, all sorts of, you know, reptiles will get into that space and further drift us apart. Now, you know, strangely, the way we are structured now, and I'm trying to be as realistic as possible because I'm in the shoes, I'm also a parent, you know, I have teenagers, and I know where it pinches. Now, the reality is we have been structured now in such a way that inadvertently, not necessarily consciously, we have ceded part of our power and authority to teachers, to the TV. When we were growing up, nobody had access to TV until 4 p.m. They have access to TV 24 hours. So let's come back to, the basics, communication.
Communication is very, very important. In any relationship, not even parent-child relationship, any relationship at all will not thrive without communication. So, and it's much more important for parents raising teenagers at this time. Because like you mentioned earlier on, during our own time, you cannot even on the TV without permission.
Yeah.
You can't on the TV. Well, we have a toddler now telling you a TV. They won't decide.
The owner.
Once you want to watch something, they're telling you, I want pajamas. These are things that's their reality. But we also must know that communication comes from a place of knowing that it takes two to tango.
Right.
So we should not make it a kind of monologue.
I order you, I instruct you.
I'm your parents,
right.
And I'm your authority. I'm the owner. I'm the one that can decide. Don't start your relationship with your child based on monologue. Understand that it takes two to tango. So if you want to continue to be an influence, an important one in your child's life, make them understand that you value them. Their opinion matter, even if you're not going to agree with them. Even my 8-year-old, I don't agree with him, but I will
negotiate.
Negotiation.
Right.
He will tell me, just this morning, I slept over at my sister's place, right? So just this morning, when she prepared the meal for us, I also had to assist in the kitchen. So she was now saying, Mommy, why do you have to be the one to cook? Why can't she cook for us? Why are you stressing yourself cooking? Look at my brother, he was trying to tell me that his brother puts me through some stress overnight, right? Why do I have to still be the one to cook? I said, because she's my sister. She said, no. I said, she's pregnant, right? She said, no. But if people come to our house, you're usually the one to cook for them because you are the visitor. Because they are the visitor. Now we are a visitor. She should be cooking for us.
Right.
Why are you being the one to cook? And I said, okay, because she's my sister. He said, that does not matter, but you're still going to go out. Okay, what if we're not here? Won't she cook by herself? That's how audacious these kids are.
True.
They can reason and think and add 1 + 2 and tell you the end result.
Right.
Even before you start working. So as much as I do not, what he's saying is kind of right, based on our own reality, the way we operate in our own house.
Right.
But I also understand that there is a place for flexibility, for compromise, understanding that, okay, this is not my duty or this is not my right, but the environment requires I do that. But if you don't communicate with your child and let them see reason why you're doing things, they are just going to do it the way they think is right.
What it would have been that time was, shut up. Who are you to question me?
Right. Who are you to do that? But now, I have to let him understand. But she's this. But I also can also help. And that will reward me. Okay, yes, that's true, Sha. That's true. And he left me.
Right.
Although it's not a teenager. A teenager might not literally ask you that. But by default, it will feel like I'm here to as a visitor.
Actually, let me ask you a wild question. And this is wild because we were organizing the convention last year and we struggled to categorize these kids. What we traditionally call teenagers is 13. But I had 10-year-olds telling me they can't stay in the preteen class because they are wiser than the kids I was putting them with. So, what is the new teenage age?
The new teenage now is 10. Let me be honest with you.
Oops.
And that's as a result of the things that they
have been exposed.
You know, the more you get exposed to the world, the more information you get. You know, the more you are able to talk based on the things that you know.
True.
And when you are talking based on the things that you know, the knowledge that you have with you, somebody that you don't have, you'll be like, I can't relate to you.
I can't
relate with you.
Absolutely.
What are you saying?
I agree with
you. It's not real. I used to use the analogy of the fact that if you talk to a Nigerian child, say Ojuju Kalaba, the child will be afraid.
Right.
Talk to an American child, the child is by default a Nigerian child.
Yeah.
By native, by default, but was raised in the US or in the UK or any African European country. The child will not be able to relate with Ojuju Kalaba. Even if the person comes and starts saying Ojuju Kalaba, they cannot relate because it's nothing part of their experience.
Actually, what it's you're saying is far-fetched because I want to argue with you that even here in Nigeria, even in Lagos, I imagine some places, Ojuju Kalaba doesn't mean anything to some of these kids.
Some of these kids. That's to tell you how much experience is important. So a child who is exposed to some things that has some knowledge will tell you, no, I know what you're saying. You want to tell me about this? I can also talk about it. I have a 10-year-old, like a niece that is in the UK. When he talks on phone, you'll be amazed that an 8-year-old knows all about it. No, yeah, no, I can't. No, you don't do that. No, that's something I can do with by just clicking on my phone. Do you have to go that? So they take light there. Sometimes relatability also affects the way these kids think.
Right.
So if you cannot come to them based on where they are, you cannot meet them where they are, you cannot influence them.
And that's, you know, sorry to cut in. So as you spoke, one of the things that came to my fore is about a relationship between female teenagers in particular and their mothers. I don't know if you experienced it, but I find that, and I'm asking this so that we can backtrack on the conversation on communication, at what point and how should the communication have gone in the beginning, not to end up there? Because is it a natural transition that teenage girls tend to look their mothers in the face at a certain age, like they just can't stand their mothers anymore, like there's no amount of I'm being generalistic here, but there's no amount of compassion or care the mother shows. It just always hits the child on the wrong side, and they are very defiant and all of that. Where did we get it wrong as mothers? How should we have communicated differently? How should we have portrayed ourselves as their friends and not clash with this? So how do we not, you know, cross the boundary? How do we set those boundaries that I'm a mother, I'm a friend? You know, so how do we, Chris, you know, okay, match?
I would say personally, I do not have a teenage child yet,
right,
or a daughter, but I think based on my own experience to
go aspire bomb boy now bomb boy.
Yes. So I know I had that clash with my home parents, so,
yeah,
and I know that many people will agree that although I don't have the data to back it up,
right,
but I think it's something that many of us experience growing up with our parents, especially as females. You get to a stage that you feel like your mommy's your ally so much. Mm. What was all this? She's always on my neck, even though they are doing it out of love.
Mm.
But I also want to believe that for those of us that are raising our kids now, let's forget about our parents. They did their best. One of the things we can do that I usually encourage parents to do is that once your child is a teenager, say max or at least 13-year-old, try to find a mentor for the child, somebody that you can trust, that is beyond, that is not you.
Hmm.
Even if you are a coach, even if you are the best in parenting, you are the best parenting coach in town, you need to have somebody that you can entrust your child to, that can reiterate your values, the things you're saying, that can also help you say it to them.
Hmm.
Because one of the things that I read in a book, and I think it was a research that was conducted in the US about boys. This is about boy child though.
Right.
I get to a stage that boys naturally they get irritated by their mother's constant correction. So they get irritated. So if you're not careful, and I want to assume that perhaps the author also wrote a book, I think it's it's about a boy book, so I can't remember the title of the book now. I think mothers also will experience that with their daughter, because it gets to a stage, my own was really very, very tiring. When I was a teenager, I was hating my mom. I would even do things that I can't even say here.
Mm.
So that's to tell you how much, even though she was doing those things based on love, to her best of her ability, I wanted to turn out well.
Mm.
Some of them might be wrong, but then that's the best.
That's how she knew how to do it.
That's the best she knew then, right? And now that I know better, I don't want to my child to experience that with me.
Right.
And what that will require, that I train my own self to understand that I cannot be the sole person, the sole voice in my child's life. Once they become a teenager, don't be the sole voice in your child's life. Find people that share the same ideology with you about parenting, that share similar values with you, that can help you coach your child, that can help you talk to them. Not formally. It's okay for you to get a professional coach. That's the best. But if you can't, you can still use your circle of friends, circle of influence to get to your child. So you don't become that nagging mother, and you can actually still achieve the same goal without saying too much.
So where would you put the role of peer pressure in all of this? Because as they are growing and they are showing their attitude and their ways and mannerisms, it could be a direct influence of their own circle, the circle they keep. And what is the guarantee that they will be inclined towards the person you've chosen as a mentor or a coach for them? As you think about it, we're going to go on a break, so I want to give you enough time to think about it. So basically, what is the role of peer, and how much of influence should parents exert in choosing or, you know, friends for their children, or allowing their children to interact with certain groups of people because of this peer pressure that we're going to talk about after the break. We're going to break now. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816-480-7613. The people of Maiduguri need your help. A catastrophic flood has engulfed the city, leaving over 1 million residents stranded and fighting for survival. Entire communities are submerged, with people trapped inside homes and on rooftops cut off from food, clean drinking water, and essential supplies. Health experts are warning of a potential outbreak of deadly diseases, and medical facilities are out of commission. The situation is dire. Helicopters, boats, and high-riding trucks capable of navigating the treacherous, waterlogged areas are urgently required to reach the countless men, women, and children still awaiting rescue. The Nigerian media is issuing a desperate plea to the government, humanitarian organizations, international actors, and citizens across the nation. Step in now, before it's too late. For more information on how you can help, contact Professor Usman A. Tar, the Honorable Commissioner for Information and Internal Security, Borno State, on 0809-233-3955. Every second counts.
Ṣé ẹ ti fún ọjà yín kò lè fún àpérò Voice of Women Conference and Awards VAW 2024 ṣíṣàmúlò ipa obìnrin nínú ìdàgbàsókè orílẹ̀-èdè Nàìjíríà lákòrí ìtọ́dún yìí lọ kọ́ sílẹ̀ báyìí ọjọ́bọ̀ ọjọ́ kẹta oṣù kẹwàá ọdún 2024 Thursday 3rd October láago mẹ́sàn àárọ̀ ni ó bẹ̀rẹ̀ ní gbọ̀ngàn NAF Conference Center Abuja darapọ̀ mọ́ àpérò àpapọ̀ tí ó dá àwọn obìnrin tó wà lẹ́sẹ̀ púpọ̀ àti nígboro papọ̀ kan lè dá sí ọ̀rọ̀ orílẹ̀-èdè Nàìjíríà VAW 2024 24 kìí ṣe àpérò lásán ètò alágbára ni VAW 2024 àgbékalẹ̀ ètò ìrónilágbára látọ̀rọ̀ àjọ tí kò rọ̀gbọ̀ kúlẹ̀ ìjọba Voice of Women Empowerment Foundation àti Women Radio níbi táwọn obìnrin tó làmìlàka ti péjọ pẹ̀lú àfojúsùn láti pèsè àwọn àbádòfin àti ètò tí yóò mú ìlọsíwájú tó ń ti ìdàgbàsókè bá àwùjọ àti orílẹ̀-èdè lápapọ̀
you're facing, but you're gonna get through it anyway, 'cause you just smile, you're going places, you kick down to the ground and you're hurting, our hope is gone, never ever give up, no you can't, dust yourself off and get up again, 'cause when the time comes and you're standing before your Lord, that's the only time that you truly 'cause you never gave up, never gave in. So get up again, get up again. Fists clenched, mouth dry, but you cannot speak out, can't even cry. Somehow you feel like you're dead inside, 'cause no one hears you, no that's not true, 'cause Allah's there no matter where you are. He sees you, sees you. So he allows you to shine, you're gonna be fine. Bring out the hero hidden inside, so don't give in, you fight till the end. The reason we fall is to get up, get up, get up again. You kick down to the ground and you're hurt and our hope is gone. Never ever give up, no you can't. Dust yourself off and get up again, get up again. 'Cause when the time comes and you're standing before your Lord, that's the only time that you truly win, 'cause you never give.
It's when you're standing before your Lord, that's when you know that you've truly won, because you've made it to Jannah. So don't despair. Don't rule yourself as a failed parent. Don't write yourself up as a bad child. Don't think the worst has happened, because it hasn't. SubhanAllah, you can dust yourself up, get up and keep fighting. the journey is a long one. Parenting, no be my mind. It's not a walk in the park. It's a deliberate, intentional journey. So you have to stand up and be counted. And it means that you have to seek help when you need to. And that's why the next set of questions that I'll be asking are very practical steps that we can take to rewrite our wrongs, retrace our steps, and all of that. So don't think it's over. It is not over. Are you a parent of a child in a juvenile correctional facility? You haven't failed. There's still, you can still come back from all of that, and that's why we're here for you. It is Everyday Muslim reaching you live on WFM 91.7, and I do have Hajia Shakira. She's a parents teen coach. She's a family life coach, and that's why we got her to talk to us about effective management of teenage life. And so we're not just focusing on the teenagers, we're also focusing on the parents of the teenagers. Hajia Shakira. So I did ask a question before we went on break about peer pressure, peer influence, peer ratings, and all of that, and how it influences this child that has, you know, totally written off the parents. Oh my God, these people, I can't steal them anymore. I wish I don't have to live under the roof with them and all of that. And, you know, how much help can we...
I think that before we get to the part of peer influence, I want to ask the question that we should ask ourselves as parents, that have I really done my part? Because many times we talk about peer influence. I think Yoruba used to say that Agun Toto Ba Bajarin.
So a goat that works with a dog will eat feces.
If you say that to the Gen Z's of today, they will tell you that Igbe Mujeni, that is the dog actually, wishes to his poo. Feces,
that's why,
in
yeah.
sense. Mm. But in all honesty, that adage is actually very true. And that is why we have to ask ourselves, have I done my own part on raising my child on values, on raising them to understand their essence and their purpose here in life? Because it is when you don't know who you are, you will soup down beneath your status or beneath who you're supposed to be. So as Muslims, for example, I like to use that practical example. A conscious Muslim will know that I'm not supposed to take pork rights, no matter how enticing they present that to you. They put everything. They put some salad and all of that, and that's if that's the only protein that is available in your environment, as in on the table, you will choose not to eat it because you know that I am not expected to eat this by default of the values that my religion expect of me, right?
Yeah.
Puts on me.
Yeah.
The same thing applies to parenting or to values or to raising our kids. Once our kids can understand who they are. Are they going to make mistakes? They are going to make a lot of it. Because we also are still making some mistakes, right? That's just what it means to grow up and to become aware of who we are. But when we raise them on values, even when they are influenced by people, I believe that they are going to find their way. I solely believe. My own personal example, growing up as a teenager, I knew the kind of lifestyle that I was exposed to. I grew up in Ajegunle now, ghetto, so I know the kind of life I was exposed to. But one of the things that kept kicking me back was my mom's voice always ringing in my head.
I don't know if there's any child that didn't hear that from their parents. Remember the child of whom you are.
Well, now if you say that to the child now, the child even understand who they are. They understand where they are coming from. I think that's one of the things that we are missing now as parents. We just say Ronti or anything when she. But the child doesn't even want to see tiny me going,
who's child
am
I?
Who am I? So we need to help our kids early on to understand who they are. Don't assume that your child is too young. Don't assume. In fact, don't ever assume that my child is too young or my child can never be my child. It can be anybody's child, regardless of your profession. It can be anybody's child. Just ensure that you are doing your own part. You are doing your own part judiciously, to the best of your ability, and you are entrusting the rest to Allah, giving the rest to God. That's okay, I leave the rest to you. I've done my part, my human impossible part. I leave the rest to you. If you can do that, even when they are influenced, believe me, the ones that you have done, you have had series of people that have given testimony of how they revealed the parts while they were growing older, while they are during their teenage age. They actually came back. There have been series of examples that people have shared. It is that voice that keep on ringing back in their mind. This is not the part I want to talk. This is not what I want to become. So let's not be afraid of our children derailing from the paths. Because we don't have control over that, right? What we actually have control over is our own path, what we can play, and the support we can give them. Even if they derail, how will you handle it? Because we like to think about only the good side as humans. My child will turn out right. He will memorize the Quran. Those of us that are Muslims, he will be the best in this and that. But what if my child will not become? And if you now happen to be an exceptional parent yourself, like you are the perfect parent coach, you are the one that, you are the imam, you are the this, you are the pastor and all of that. You know, there is this unknown pressure you put on yourself subconsciously. Because people are looking up to you.
And you transfer that
onto your child unknowingly. You do not, your child do not owe you anything in that regard. In terms of how to live up to the
expectations that you've set.
The person they are looking up to, that they owe that is their Lord. And that's why you have to be conscious. You have to consciously lead them back to their Lord, to their essence, understanding why they are here. And don't attach it to yourself. Like you want to open Bamiloro College. Yes, they are bearing your name. But you are just passing through you. You're just a passage for them. All they owe is their God. And make sure you are doing that enough. When you are angry and you are upset, you are linking it back to where they are going to account. You mentioned, I think the music that we played just now is talking about, at the end of the day, when you can actually say I've been successful, is when you are before your Lord.
That's the ultimate. That's the last.
You even want your child to know that even when you make that mistake, you can still come back, because this Lord will not leave you. He will not forsake you. It can be hard. People will judge you. People will label you. But I'm here to support you, because that's your role. That's why Allah have entrusted them to you. It's hard, because I know of practical examples of people that are in that situation. Believe me, but if you can just hold on and grip your teeth through that face, Allah will see you through.
Thank you so much for the way this conversation is going. And I'm going to touch on something that I want to believe an average teenager is suffering. And most of us also went through that when we were at that age. But I would like to open the phone lines so that you, my audience, can be a part of today's show. Number to call 07000-917-917. Please keep your contribution or question concise, short, precise, so that we can maximize our time here, right? Of course, mute your radio set once the call comes through. 07000-917-917 is the number to call. Alternatively, you can send us SMS or WhatsApp to 070-317-56537. I want us to talk about self-esteem, and a lot of young adults suffer from that. A lot of children, even adults, full-blown adults, are suffering from self-esteem. How do we know that, this person has a self-esteem issue? What are the signs that may trigger this realization in us so that we start to help? How do we know a teenager is struggling with self-esteem?
Okay, I think one of the cues that you can take is that your child cannot... I personally like to believe that it begins with your child not being able to say no to you as a parent. If your child can say no to you as a parent respectfully, then believe me, they can say no to their peers too. They can say no, and I think the peer is actually the most difficult part of teenage life to say no to, because you want to belong, right? You want to fit in. You don't want to be left out. You want to know what's going on. You don't want to be the novice in the crowd. But if you can allow your kids to know that it's okay for them to disagree with you from the home, then automatically disagreeing with your peers will not be difficult. And when you normalize having uncomfortable conversations in the house, it's easier for them to develop healthy self-esteem, knowing that even if I have a contrary opinion with my parents, they are going to listen. They're not going to shame me for it. And that thing we should also be careful of is the way we correct or the way we discipline our kids. We should ensure that we are not blaming or labeling our child. But we are upset about their behavior, not who they are. So many kids will ask you, I have a very young child now, will ask you, mommy, is it that when you finish scolding him, mommy, are you still upset at me? Or do you still love me? They still want to hear that you love them. Despite how wrong they have, what they have done that is getting you angry. I'll say, yes, I'm upset at your behavior, but not at who you are, because I know you are good.
Right.
So it's important that when we are correcting, we ensure that we distinguish between attacking the child and attacking the behavior.
So we're addressing the wrongdoing and not the person. We're very careful.
You are so careless.
Worthless. You are useless.
You are so useless. There's nothing you can do. Let me use Yoruba to use that language.
True.
English is still poch, kind of. But Yoruba will say, unknowingly, you are ingraining your child to believe that. You keep saying every day, Ara Obaleri, you start believing that,
I'm not okay, and you start seeing
your child labeling themselves in that, believing that. And they now make me say that, I'm your Bali. They start saying it to themselves. When I just give it to my son, my older one is 8 years old, right? So I found out that I was so anxious. I don't want him to cry. Don't drop my baby. Don't fall him. I was like, be careful. You'll not do that. He automatically started saying that, I think I'll fall him. Even though you can carry him, right? An eight-year-old should be able to carry a baby, right? But because I was just, don't drop him. Don't sleep on him. Don't do this. He was constantly, and he started doing that to himself. He would be afraid. Mom, this is like I can carry him. I said, you can carry him. So you have to be aware of yourself, the way you are unconsciously. Because we do these things sometimes, not because you are bad. It's just because you're not paying attention enough. So I had to call myself to caution. No.
You have to be intentional about it.
We actually have to be careful.
A lengthy text message. It's like an epistle. So just pay attention, because at the end of the day, the person wants clarity. Assalamu alaikum to la barakatuh. Good morning in the studio. Earlier, the host made a comment about the situation in the past where the parents set the rules in the house and enforce it. She gave the example of a situation where the TV is TV set in the house cannot be switched on unless the parents approve of it. Now it seems the situation is transitioning to the children taking control and holding the control. One of the signs of the end time, according to the Prophet Islam, is that the children will become the parents of their parents, issuing orders, controlling them, and setting the rules. This is actually a bad sign, and we are warned about. Are we not starting to see this? Where is the balance for parents to be parents and not the children in the house? To be compassionate, protective, be a role model, educate, to discipline, to nurture, to be an emotional anchor, and to punish if needs be. To be all this without the fear of being labeled as a bad parent or misunderstood. Most of the talks out there seem to conflict all this to toxicity. So, bad parenting or abuse and lack of parenting skills. Please clarify.
Okay.
This person didn't leave a name, but
I think the person is asking about boundaries. Where is older boundary? I believe that boundary is very important. In fact, boundary is what makes you a parent. Because as much as you want your child to see you as their friend, you don't want them to feel like you are a bad parent. In fact, at some point in your child's life, they should think of you as a bad parent. That's what I
believe. As we all did. Take our parents as...
time. Not because we are bad. It's just a face in their life. They will see you as a bad parent. Sometimes when I scold my son, he will tell me, and later you say you love me. I say, I love you, yes. But that does not mean that I should allow you to do what you want to do. I will say it to his face. So I love you, but I will not allow you to do this because it's not good for you. So boundaries should be it's something that you have. And it begins with conversation. Making your child know that this is the rule in the house. What is the system that governs your house? Many of us, we just leave everything. We don't have a system that governs our house. We don't have family values.
We don't have do's and don'ts.
We don't. And sometimes you are the one that will set the rules. You are the one that will break the rules. In the name of Shibam, the parents. A typical example is the use of phone, right?
I was going to say, you took that right out of my mouth.
The use of phone, right? We'll say, because I have business, because I'm doing my business on the phone. So you can do anyhow you like. You can spend 18 hours on the phone. And your kids are seeing you, and you say you are the model, right? Automatically, what you're preaching is contradicting what you are living. And because they see you every day, you say it's not good to talk, to press the phone while having dinner time. But you're the one talking on the phone.
Because you don't want to miss that next business.
Exactly.
And then you harass the child and say, that's how I pay your school fees.
This is not contradictory to the child. We should not just leave the rules to them. We should not give them the control. I have a communication system in your house, a governing system in your house that actually says that this is what we do. At this time and this time, these are what is allowed. We should not do this. And if you want to do that, for some reason, communicate with the child. Not from a place of it's my rights. From a place of I have to do this, please. Can you just give me 10 minutes to quickly balance this up and I'll come attend to you? If the rule says don't press the phone while having dinner as a family, don't press the phone. if the rule says don't use the phone while having a scar in my home, but one of the rules is that when you are having a scar, we don't press the phone.
Okay.
So you leave the phone aside. You might even have to put your phone on silence and drop it on the table in front where everybody can see it. So we finish your scar in 30 minutes and then everybody is gone. So you might need to look into that. When we once we can live up to the rules that we are setting, you find your children falling
in line, because actually they actually follow what they see more than what they hear. They do as we do as opposed to do as we say. Interesting. How can parents help their teenagers develop a healthy balance, especially with academic responsibilities and social life? So and I'm going to paint two extremes. Okay. We have the extrovert parents that every weekend there's one person doing one event or the other, social life.
Day.
Yes. And so some in this space, and that's the kind of parents, they either carry the children along and they're all part of the party, everybody party, and then you have this child that doesn't like to party and wants to just be left at home, and you know, you're torturing me by carrying me along. Or the ones that decide, no, it's not your business, this is my time, the parties are for me, you go and face your studies and face your life and all of that. Or the extreme ones that don't even go out and their children are exposed to parties in school, end of year party, this birthday,
and
that,
like,
and
it.
All of that, and they enjoy it, and you are so backward and so a cake and so in the cave, and you're not. So how do you legit help this child to balance the academy and social life? Because you would then say, oh, I've read my books and that, so now is my time to live my life, you know. So
yes.
How do you help them attain that balance?
I think it's also come from a place of values, and like you said, like the parent that will say that I read my own book during my own time, this is my time to have fun. They are right to a reasonable extent, but also at what costs? Because there is a cost for presence, likewise there is a cost for absence. So if your overbearing is affecting your role as a parent, then there is need for you to change, to look into it. And if your child is somebody, maybe by default of your own personality, you are the reticent type, you like to be indoor, but your child is that blooming person that likes to be life of the party, you might need to come up and meet your child up where they are. But you must start from a place of priority. Okay, you have, I think we had a summit some weeks ago by Sister Amina. And in the summit they were asking the teenagers, if you had a party to attend this weekend and you have an exam on Monday, you have a party on Sunday, what are you going to do? You'll be surprised by the responses by this teenager, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 13-year-old gave. I will attend the party. And I will see
I'll continue.
Some of them said both. Some of them said I will go to the party, and the party is going to end by 12 a.m. I will still go, and I have exam by 8 a.m. I will go.
Wow.
That's how much the kids were telling. They were honest with people. If it was the parent that has that question, they might not really open up. They'll just tell you what you want to hear.
Of course.
But if it was somebody else where they are free, they will open up. So you have to be sure that you are looking at the child you're raising. What kind of personality is my child? And that's where understanding your child personality comes in. Many parents do not want to understand their child personality. They just want to impose who they are on their parents.
Or make the child live the dream they couldn't
leave. They could not leave. Some people that do not, maybe they do not use their teenage years very well, or their early years very well, and they did not have any social life. They saw the effect now. They want their child to be overly social.
And then they key them into all sorts of activities and bombard them left,
this,
right, center.
You have to go that. You're not constraining the child. At the center of all these decisions that we're going to make for our child, it must be in their interests, knowing who they are.
Right.
So that will help you to choose. If the child is the one that does not like party, then you allow the child be. We're also encouraging to a reasonable extent. Okay, family function, at least you can still go for that. If you cannot go for the general one, the local one. If your child is the one that is bubbly, likes to be everywhere, you also have to teach balance.
Yeah.
It's not everything that you have to be available for. Don't be too available. Always show up. Always show up for parties every time. Sometimes just sit down and just be with yourself. Be comfortable being alone and not being called to some events. So it's more about understanding your child's personality and who you are as a parent and the values that guide your home system. That is not just one answer. It has to do with
it's a lot of work.
Reality. Seriously, it's actually a lot. A lot because you see teenagers that like to party this time, and some do not like it at all. Some rather be in there. I have someone that was with me some time ago. She likes to be in the always. Always in the, I will have to force her, let's go out, yeah, let's go. Okay, I'm going for a convocation, let's go. She will still go for convocation, anything that has to do with academics line. So sometimes you have to also understand their interests. Sometimes it's not as if they don't like party,
It's just the kind of...
the kind of party. Is it the party that they just celebrate?
Making love noise.
Shouting. I don't like that one. If it's the one that has to do with thinking about the future, what
a
I want to become,
event.
That will inspire me, then I will go. So you have to pay attention. But parents do not even have the time to pay attention. They just want to impose their own idea on the child.
Tough question. What role does social media play in the teenager's life today? And as I ask that question, I find it hypocritical, because what role does even the adult's life, us, what...
in our whole life as a parent.
Hmm. And how can we guide these children to use it responsibly when we ourselves are so loose with the use of social media?
That's a deep question. Okay, I would say that I would take it back to us. Like you said, it's not just about the teenagers that this social media is influencing. It's also influencing us as a parent. So ask yourself. Some people will say, some parents will say that they will not allow their child be on social media until certain age. At the end of the day,
Does it actually work?
It actually works for some people. It works for some people.
Even though they get to, when they're with their friends, they see what's going on. Yeah.
It works for some people. But I believe that at the end of the day, it's all about what you want for your child, the kind of child you're raising, and the open communication, the communication gap that you leave open. So from time to time, you have to review your decision. How do you see this decision? Your child might be okay with it at 13, 14, 15. At 15, they might say they are not okay with this decision again. Are you willing to bend that rule and allow? Don't just say, no, until my child is 18 years old, they would not use a mobile phone, and then they go out, they see their friend using it, and then it starts sneaking.
And they're using it under your roof, under your nose, and you don't even know.
And they are even using... There are cases of that. In fact, it led to something that is not actually...
Boyfriend gave a girl a phone and she's using the phone.
If it was just boyfriend, girlfriend, it would have been okay. This one even led to the child going into porn.
SubhanAllah.
Just because the parent don't know. And the parent are like, oh, mommy, on your phone. Mommy, on your phone, Rara. Yeah, the child has phone that he was even going online to...
Pornography.
So we have to be careful. We have to make sure that we are not just too rigid. In the name of because we are afraid of the evil in that thing, then we deprive our kids from having that thing, and then they have access to that thing.
And
that
they go excessive.
So it's all about you knowing what works for your family and how you leave that communication gap open from time to time.
A very tough question I'm going to ask you now, because it's some people's reality, unfortunately. But before I ask my question, we have another question. This is from Bola. She says, good morning, Ma. Please, what can one do if the parents don't agree to uphold values set? Daddy will say yes, do. That is against family values, while the child will see mom as a hard nut. Thank you. So basically, there's family values that have been set verbally or structurally, but one person is upholding, the other person is not upholding. How do you get out of this?
Okay, a child is asking the question,
it
right?
Looks like, okay. Because person is referring to daddy, okay. And mom. It could even be one of the parents referring to, this man is the one setting the rules, but he's the one breaking it. Or daddy is upholding, but mommy is so lax in it, and she's...
So I think... For whoever has sent the question, I want you to know that sometimes conflict is not something that we should be afraid of, right? Sometimes we set these rules and we find it difficult to follow through, even as parents ourselves. So one thing I want you to start with is from a place of compassion for the person that is involved, that is faulting the rules, or the one that is so rigid. If it's your mom that is so rigid, be compassionate and try to understand why she's rigid or not following or bending the rules. And the one that is lax, maybe daddy is the one that is like, what's there? The kid can just watch TV all through. What's there? Nothing will happen to them. You have to also understand why is that. Because our experience also growing up affects the way we think. So if we don't come up together, some people watch TV all through their lives growing up. And they are not addicted to it. Now we are saying that there are a lot of articles, a lot of research that say that we should not give our kids too much screen, right? But the truth is that if we look at it ultimately too, this is the reality of their world.
Everywhere they turn, there's a screen. There's one.
The time will come that we would see that there will be no need for table, a book and pen again. Not because we don't have them available, but the reality is that is what is going to be involved.
Move beyond.
Is far beyond
that's the
that.
Only thing.
So I'm here actually preparing our kids for the future. So to the person who has sent this question, try to understand, if it's your parents, understand that they are also struggling and be compassionate with them. while you try, and if it's if the parent are listening, if you are parent here listening, I believe that we are parents here listening, let's try to be to come to an harmonious agreement within ourselves, so that we don't leave contradictory rules with the kids, leaving them confused.
So basically you're saying daddy and mommy be on a united front, because once you are not, then we leave cracks and these kids can
come
take
in
advantage
of that one. They'll now be like, okay, mommy, I know mommy will allow me, go, let me go and tell mommy. Mommy will allow this one. The one that daddy will allow, they'll go and tell daddy that one. So it's difficult, it can be difficult, but we have to just do that for the sake of the kids, so that they can know that, because that's where governance starts, right? Governance starts at the home. Before we start talking about Nigeria as a whole of the country is not functioning and all of that, it begins with ourselves.
From the home.
If we cannot even manage five of us, three of us in the family, how do you have to blame the governor, the president, the commissioner for not doing leading us right? So it's a whole lot.
I'm going to end with this question, and that's because it's becoming rife in the society, and that's about substance abuse. How do you approach these kind of sensitive topics with the children? Mental health, relationships, when you're discussing with teenagers, actually substance abuse, how would you know, are there any telltale signs that will let you know that, watch out, this boy might be getting up to something, or this girl might be exposed to something? Is there any sign that we can look out for, and then how do we broach the topic with them?
When it comes to sign, I will not say, I think signs can be misleading sometimes. Sometimes, I don't want you to assume. Unless you take your child to a center that tests for that, that confirms that this child is using this, you cannot automatically say just because a child behaves a certain way.
Withdraws and
so it could be a lot of factors. There are just symptoms that can be similar. So, but if you by making inquiry, you eventually get to know that your child is involved.
Oh, let's even break it down. You've come across something inside the child's room. You have seen.
And you are shocked.
Yeah. How do you?
Acceptance. Don't live in denial. Don't live in denial of the fact that this cannot be my child. Yes, it's going to hurt. You're going to feel disappointed. But the next thing is that seek help. Just like your child, when they fall sick, you don't live in denial. This child is not sick. Even though the temperature is
through the roof.
You don't say, no, my child is not sick. No, it can never be my child. Acceptance of this child is sick. This child needs help.
Right.
Then let me seek help for the child. You take the child to the hospital, right? They ask you to conduct a series of tests, go to the lab and do this and do that. They will prescribe medicine. The same way you have to take your child. When you find your child using substance abuse, when you find your child into pornography, don't live in denial of, this and that. Don't say that to yourself. It has happened. What is the next solution?
Right.
Then go seek help with professionals. And add spiritual. I believe in spirituality. Please add spiritual. There's a God factor in everything that we do. So whether you're a Muslim or a Christian, please, God factor is very important. And teach them the values of relationship. You mentioned relationship from the perspective of your faith. What does the Quran say about it? What does the Bible say about it? Because I believe that these two religions, none of them say that all of these things are right, right? No religion will tell you that it's okay for you to smoke. It's okay for you to do this. It's okay for you to do that. Look at your own holy book. And teach your child from that premise. That way they know that you're not just talking from a place of what you want. You're telling them what the owner of their life, their soul, has told them to do. And if you don't do it, use the typical analogy of you have created something. You are the one that configured a laptop. There's time that you ask people to upgrade and they refuse to upgrade. What will happen? Will they be able to use the phone effectively? They will not be able to use it the way they're supposed to use it. That's a particular example I use for my son. So you have modeled this phone now and you say that update it to the new model and they refuse to update it. You find that the phone will start malfunctioning. So also is our soul. God is the owner of our soul and he has told us what we are supposed to do. If we don't follow, we are not going to give our best. We are not going to give our best. So may Allah use it for every one of us that is listening today.
Thank you so much, Haja Shakira, for your time. And thank you so much for you listening and being a part of today's show. MPAC and WFM brought you this Everyday Muslim. You can catch up with all our past episodes at www.mpac-ng.org. So you've not missed out anything. So if you're just tuning in now and you caught the last part of it, you can always catch up on the website with this episode and previous episodes, inshallah. That's how far we can go on the show today. Thank you so much for those of you that sent in messages. If I haven't read your message, I apologize, but we're out of time. We'll see you same time next week when we bring you another beautiful package of Everyday Muslim. Until then, Masalam.